Well, Hearts, thanks for joining us today here on Challenge. And today I'm going to air a message I preached some time ago, but it is as relevant today as ever it was. Be blessed as you listen. It's entitled, Defeat is Unacceptable. Here's the message. Defeat is unacceptable. And from my point of view, it's unacceptable at any level. I mentioned a couple of times yesterday that reminding you that I am an ordained Southern Baptist minister because I want you to understand. I made this comment yesterday. I said, I believe everything that Baptists believe, and quite frankly, I believe sometimes more than some Baptists believe. But I wanted you to know, because I was using Spurgeon, I was using Colin Delitzsch, I was using others to let you know that I'm not the only one saying what I'm saying, that some of these men who were really used of God century, 2 centuries ago, were in the same camp that I'm in, or I'm in the same camp they were in. Now, today, we're going to be dealing with defeat is unacceptable at any level. Why? You as a child of God, you must understand who you are. You've got to know what you believe and why you believe what you believe. I told you yesterday that it is one thing to talk the walk. It's one thing to sing the walk. It's one thing to pray the walk. It's another thing to walk the walk. And I know that so much of the church is living and walking in discouragement, disappointment, and failure. Why? Because they simply do not know who they are in Christ Jesus. They have not yet fully embraced all that Christ accomplished on the cross. They have not yet fully embraced all that Christ taught. They have not yet fully embraced what the Word of God teaches about who we are in Christ Jesus, what is available to us, what Christ has accomplished for us. So today I want to help you better understand some of that today, if I possibly can. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm here at the microphone because I believe once again this is where you want me at this time. And Father God, I understand that I can't do this without you. Holy Spirit, I need your anointing. I need your anointing to make these truths clear to your people. They're in your word. It is your word. And Father, they need your anointing to comprehend the depth and the truth of your word. I'm asking you to give them ears to hear, give each of us the ears to hear, and give us a continual, better, progressive understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus. Help us to better understand who we are in Christ Jesus and the reality of the warfare that we're in. And this I ask in Christ Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen and Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, Paul, writing to Timothy, says, Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. So many people thought that when they came to Christ, were born again, that going to be a pretty easy walk then. Something like a cakewalk, just name it and claim it and get up every day and whistle and ignore reality. Pretend that everything is okay and just go through life trying to pretend that everything is okay. That's not Christianity. Christianity is you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Yes, you're born again. Your sins are forgiven. Your past has been forgotten. You've become a new creation in Christ Jesus. You've been adopted into the family of God. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. But understand this. You are in a warfare. Never forget that. You are in a warfare, which is why Paul says to Timothy, Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Timothy, you're going to run across discouragement. Timothy, you're going to run across a lot of things that are going to disgust you. You're going to become settled upon by the enemy. He's going to beat on you. You're going to be threatened. You're going to be intimidated if you're not careful. You're in a battle, Timothy. Understand this is spiritual warfare, Timothy. So put up with it. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. People of God, never forget. Don't ever forget whose army you are in. Those of you who've been born again, I'm not talking to those of you who are just religious. I'm talking to those who've been born again. You are in the army of God. You have been commissioned by God. You have been chosen by God. And he has brought you forth to do battle on his behalf. You were chosen for the mission that you're in. Word of God tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. It's already an accomplished fact. It is already an accomplished fact. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Another way to say that is that he has already blessed us with everything we need. He has blessed us with everything we need. My friend, do you understand? And see, some of you have never walked through the warehouse. I brought this up last week. Some of you have never walked through the warehouse of God's blessings. You've never walked through the warehouse of God's promises. You have never embraced so many of his promises, and many of them are conditional. Yes, some of them are conditional. If you do this, I do that. If you do this, I do that. And so many of you have never walked through the armory of God and chosen the whole weaponry system he makes available to you. And so many of you are suffering defeat, discouragement, disappointment, defeat, unbelief, doubt, fear. You're not walking in the power, the peace, the joy, the victory that Christ Jesus went to the cross to purchase for you. Why? He's purchased it. He paid the price. So you've got to remember whose army you're in. And you must remember this. You were chosen. You didn't choose God. You didn't choose Jesus Christ. You were chosen by God. He will choose anyone, and he knows, he has known from eternity past, who would choose to be chosen. Whosoever will shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever won't will not be saved. But whosoever will be saved. And him, God, our Heavenly Father, in his omniscience, knew from eternity past who would and who would not be a whosoever will. So the Word of God tells us, I said to you now that he chose you. You didn't choose him. He chose you. Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. When? Before the foundation of the world. You see, you've got to get a grip on the omniscience of God. Child of God, you need to get a grip on the omniscience of God. His total, total omniscience. His total, complete sovereignty. His total, complete authority. And all of that has been made accessible to you as one who's been purchased by the blood of Christ, as one who's been born again. This is not name it and claim it. No, this is biblical doctrine. This is the doctrine of the Word of God. But so many of God's people have never yet fully appreciated nor embraced all that Christ is and all that Christ accomplished. We go to John 15:16, Jesus speaking to his apostles. He said, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. What he says to them, he says to you. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now go back to Ephesians 1:4 once again. According as he hath chosen us in him, in Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So, number one, never forget whose army you're in. Never forget the fact that you were chosen for this mission. And never forget the purpose of the warfare. Once again, you're in a war. You're in a spiritual warfare. You are living, as I've told you so many times, in the realm of visible reality. You are living in the realm of visible reality. But you're fighting an invisible foe in the realm of invisible reality. It's spiritual warfare. It is spiritual warfare. What is the purpose? What is the purpose of this spiritual warfare that we're involved in? Simple. Advance the kingdom of God. Advance the kingdom of God. Jesus, in his resurrected body, came to his disciples. He said to them, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, every nation of the world. Go you therefore and teach all nations, every people, all people of every tongue, every dialect, every background, every race. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them, discipling them, making disciples out of them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. I'm right there with you, even unto the end of the world." We are to inflict all the damage we can on the kingdom of darkness. We are to do all the damage we can to the kingdom of darkness. We must never forget the purpose of the warfare that we're in. And it is a warfare. Now, you may be hiding out somewhere. You may not be getting involved in the battle, and that is why so many of you are walking in such defeat, in such spiritual empathy, apathy, spiritual lethargy, and losing so many battles. That's why so many of you are walking where you're walking without the joy, without the peace, without the victory, without the power. You need to get into the battle. Do what you were called of God to do. In doing this, never lose sight of your commander-in-chief. Remember who your commander-in-chief is. Who is your commander-in-chief? Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Messiah. There's power in that name. Do you know how to use the name of Jesus? Do you know how to use the name of Jesus against Satan? Do you know how to use the name of Jesus against demons? I'm working on a message now, which I'll probably do in the next 2 or 3 days, hopefully. But we hear about a spirit of jealousy. Well, jealousy is an emotion, isn't it? Therefore, if there is a spirit of jealousy, is there not a spirit of anger, envy, and the list goes on and on? What about a spirit of infirmity? The Word of God tells us of those who had a spirit of infirmity. Infirmity is a type of physical malady, sickness, disease of some kind, some physical malady. So if we have spirits involved in the emotional realm, we have spirits involved in the physical realm. In other words, we're up against an enemy that is invisible but manifests himself in a variety of ways. But our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, once again, 20 Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power." Now, this is after his resurrection. He has conquered sickness, disease, death. He has conquered sin, Satan, demons. He has shown himself victorious in every expression of life. And after his resurrection, Jesus came to them in Matthew 28:18. Jesus came, spake to them, saying, "All power. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." You can access that power. You can access that power. That power is accessible to you through godly, holy, separated living, obedience, and prayer. That power is accessible to you, just like the blessings, just like the promises. It is all accessible to you. The Word of God says He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in this life and in the life to come. All power, Jesus said, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He had demonstrated that power. He demonstrated that power with demons. He demonstrated that power with Satan. He demonstrated that power with sickness and disease. He demonstrated that power with nature. He demonstrated that power over death. He has demonstrated that power. And that power is available to you through submission, surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, godly, holy living, faith, believing God, believing His Word, trusting His Word, prayer. It's all available to you. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Satan came at Jesus with every suggestion to the mind you can think of. He came at Jesus. Jesus was tempted in all points like we are, yet He never gave in. You see, defeat was unacceptable. He came to fulfill the purpose of God, the Father. He came to fulfill the mission. He came to seek and to save sinners. He came to be the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice on the cross at Calvary. He came to offer Himself as the one sacrifice that God would accept on behalf of sinners. His blood that cleanses us initially when we're born again and continues to cleanse us as we confess our sins. Jesus, our high priest, cannot be touched with the feelings of infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. Trust me, child of God, Jesus understands the warfare. He understands the warfare. He understands the strategy of the enemy. Why do you think we pray asking God to breathe frustration, strife, division, and failure on all the strategy of the enemy? You are watching the strategy of the enemy unfolding in your lifetime today in the nations of the world. You have been watching it unfolding in recent months, more so right here in the United States of America than you've ever seen before in your life. Jesus understands the strategy. It is the church that doesn't understand it. It is the church that has never taken the time to really look and understand the strategy of the enemy. Jesus understands it. Jesus understands the tactics of the enemy. He knows his strategy. He knows his tactics. He knows what he is trying to implement into the warp and the woof of the individual's life, into the church, into the nation. He knows. He knows the strategy. It is the church that has failed to recognize. And many times I am convinced of this and becoming increasingly more convinced every day. It is the church that has, in so many respects, ignored what Christ said about the end times. And so Satan is working feverishly in these end times, continuing to choose he can use, implement his strategy, his tactics, if you will, and the church. The church is woefully, woefully ignorant in so many respects of this. Now, not the whole church. No, don't get me wrong. God's got a remnant. God always has a remnant. And in that remnant, he's got people who understand the Word of God. They understand the strategy of the enemy. They understand the tactics of the enemy. They understand spiritual warfare. They understand the meaning of the Word of God. They understand the Word of God, and they're living it, and they're practicing it. We just need more. We need more of them. You see, Jesus understands the strategy. He understands the tactics. He himself has defeated the enemy. Do you not understand, child of God? The enemy is already defeated. Yes, we're in a warfare. He is warring against us. That's part of what this is all about. But you have to understand that Jesus has already defeated every enemy you are going to face. You can face the enemy in the power, in the name of Jesus, knowing that Jesus has already defeated them. You can do that. He understands the tactics of the enemy. He's defeated him. And He has sent the Holy Spirit. When Jesus went back to glory, he said to the disciples, "I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. It's expedient that I go away. It's expedient that I go back to glory, because if I don't go back to glory, then he, the Comforter, can't come." Jesus ascended back into glory. Right now, he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He ever lives to make intercession. He is praying for you. He's praying for me. But he, when he got back to glory, sent the Holy Spirit of God. Now, if you've been born again, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, who can strengthen you in this walk. He can give you the strength that you need on a day-by-day basis to walk through this battleground. And it's a battleground. Make no mistake about it. The Holy Spirit of God was sent. He can encourage you when you are about to become so discouraged. And I've been there so many times. I have been there so many times. And then the Holy Spirit of God would move in some respect. He would move in some circumstances or a situation. Send me some encouragement. The Holy Spirit knows where you're hurting. He knows where you are almost about to capitulate. He knows where you're weak. He knows where you need encouragement. He knows where you're disappointed. And the Holy Spirit comes to encourage us. And then he indwells us to enable us. To enable us and empower us to come through battle after battle after battle. I know what I'm talking about. I've got spiritual scar tissue all over me. I have got spiritual scar tissue all over me, as many of you do. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Battle after battle after battle, when he was trying to discourage, disappoint, defeat, get you to stumble, get you to fall. And sometimes we did stumble, but praise God, we regained our balance and kept going, not because we were special, but because of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God who indwells us. Because of the Holy Spirit of God who strengthens us, encourages us, enables us, empowers us, and leads us in the battles that we face. You get up every morning of the world, understand me, child of God. Every morning of the world when you get up, Satan is waiting to in some way try to discourage you, disgust you, disappoint you, seed your mind with unbelief, seed your mind with doubt, seed your mind with fear, seed your mind with some thought process that he wants to use against you in order to weaken you in the battle. He doesn't want the soldiers of God strong in the battle. Romans 8:26, Word of God says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray, but if we're sensitive, get quiet. Get still before the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. Get still before the Lord. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit of God understands our infirmities. He knows our weaknesses. He knows where we are weak. That's why he comes to enable and to empower. We don't even know how to pray properly. As a matter of fact, in this message, I'm going to show you some things that the Holy Spirit has shown me in the last 24 hours. Some things that we can pray. And some of you are going to dismiss this as nonsense, and that just shows where you are. That just shows where you are. If you've got ears to hear, if you have ears to hear, and if you will listen today, I'm going to give you some information. I'm going to give you biblical-based information. I'm going to talk to you in such a way as practical and down-to-earth and honest as I know how to teach you how you can be more effective in the warfare we're in. You're in a war. This is no time for spiritual wimps. This is no time for deserters. This is no time to go AWOL. No, we need everybody on the firing line. We need all the soldiers of God in the whole armor of God getting up every morning in the world and saying, Father, here am I. I choose to die to self. I choose to bring every thought captive to you. I submit and surrender to you, Lord, and I resist the devil. I choose to bring every thought captive to you. I choose to die to self. I choose to honor you, glorify you, exalt you, bless you, obey you. Hear my Father, ready for the battle today. And then you put on the whole armor of God. And then you go out to meet the enemy. Then you go out to meet the enemy. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, once again, Jesus, after his resurrection, he has defeated Satan. He's defeated death. Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And you have access to that power. Read the word of God for yourself. Understand who you are in Christ Jesus. Understand what Christ has made available to you. Understand that you can come boldly before the throne of God. He loves intercessors. He loves intercessors. Get in the battle. Now let's talk for a moment about the reality of this warfare, shall we? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. I told you once again, we are living in a world of visible reality. But the battle we're involved in is a battle in the realm of invisible reality, but we are in a war. For though we walk in the flesh, though we live in human bodies, we do not war. The battle we're in the war. We do not war after the flesh. Our enemy is Satan and all the demonic forces he commands. That's your enemy, friend. Satan and every demon. Every single solitary demon. Principalities, powers, thrones, dominions, weak demons, smaller demons, larger demons, stronger demons. It's all there. It's in the Word of God. It's all in the Word of God. Have you read the Word of God? Have you believed the Word of God? If you believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If you believe, Father, help us believe. We should be praying that, as that man did to Jesus. I believe, help my unbelief. That was a great prayer. Help my unbelief, Jesus. I believe, I want to believe, I want to believe more fully. Help me to believe. You have to understand, our enemy, Satan, and all the demonic forces that he commands. You can't hide from demons. You can't ignore reality. The Word of God teaches it. I told you I believe everything the Baptists believe, and I believe sometimes more than some Baptists believe because I've been here. I've seen it. I've had to confront it. I've lived it, and I've read it, and I've studied it. And this is what the Word of God says. You have to understand this. Satan uses people. Satan uses people. Satan uses people at every level of life on the globe. Satan uses people. Have you not understood that yet? Have you not understood yet that Satan is influencing people, manipulating people, using people? Have you not yet understood that unclean spirits sometimes deceive, use people? He uses circumstances. Satan uses people, and you can go in the Word of God and find all of this. You can go into the Word of God and find all of this. It's right there in the Word. He uses people. Who do you think used Judas Iscariot? Word of God says Satan entered into him. Go through the New Testament. Go through the Scriptures. Go into the Old Testament. Find out how many times unclean spirits were involved in the situations and the circumstances and the people under discussion. He uses people. He uses circumstances. He even uses religious life. He even uses those in religious life. Do you realize that the Catholic Church last month was found guilty, and they're coming up with $87.5 million. $87.5 million to pay off the verdict because of the sexual abuse of children in the Catholic diocese they were in. $87.5 million. We've run across that in Protestant churches. It is more prevalent, it would appear, at least it gets more publicity in the Catholic Church. Oh, you're not supposed to marry. Well, what did the Word of God say about the latter times and forbidding to marry? You know, folks, as I looked at that, I said to myself, here's workers. Here's people putting in 40 hours a week, 60 hours a week, 70 hours a week, and taking money and giving it to the church, and then the church is having to spend it to pay off the penalty because people inside the church were molesting and using children inside the church. How, the Buffalo shooting. How much more has got to happen in this nation until you understand the reality of the warfare I'm talking about? Satan uses everything he can. Political life of a nation. Yes, he uses the political life. What do you think is going on in this nation right now? They use nice terms, old progressives. How about sinners? How about right and wrong? How about lying instead of fake news? Satan uses every instrument he can get his hands on. He uses the economic life. Satan gets involved in the economics of a nation. He gives no quarter. Satan gives no quarter. He will not give you a break of any kind. He is relentless. Satan is absolutely relentless in his quest for control. That is what it's always been about. Didn't he say the same thing to Jesus? If you would just simply bow down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. I got them. Because Adam sinned. And when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, he lost his dominion. And I gained dominion. And now I am the God, small g, of this world. And if you would just bow down and worship me, Jesus, because I've got a handle on this thing. I've got a handle on the political machinery. I've got a handle on the nations of the world. I've got a handle on the legislative actions. I have a handle on the judicial actions. I have a handle on many of the customs and the procedures and the policies. Jesus, fall down and worship me, and I'll give it to you. I will let you, under me, be in control of the nations of the world. That has always been his, and you've got to be very spiritually unlearned not to understand what's going on in these recent months. Don't you see the population control? Don't you see the implementation of satanic policies? Don't you see what Satan is doing, trying to gain ascendancy in every quarter of every nation in the world? Why? To control. He is relentless. Satan is relentless in his quest for control. And he's not in a hurry. Satan is not in a real big hurry. He thinks he's got time, and he just wants to go ahead and continue. And here's where he's going. I'm telling you, here's where he's going. That's why you hear all the talk about socialism, globalization, one world order. That is satanic. That is the satanic strategy. That is the satanic tactic. That is the satanic agenda, trying to gain ascendancy in order to gain ascendancy over the nations of the world. Now we're hearing some talk about the possibility, is it just possible that the World Health Organization might want to be controlling the health organizations around the world? Folks, you've got to wake up and realize what is going on. It's a warfare, and we're in it. He's not in a hurry. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds? I have taught on this in churches. People did not have the foggiest idea of what a stronghold was. What is a stronghold? What is a stronghold? It's a sinful practice. It's a sinful practice that has become ingrained in the life. A stronghold. Alcoholism can be a stronghold. Sensuality can be a stronghold. Pornography can be a stronghold. Anger can be a stronghold. Revenge can be a stronghold. Any number of items that are contrary to the character of Christ can be a stronghold. I've often depicted it this way. The first sin is committed, one block is laid. Another sin, that same sin is committed time and time again. The same sin, time and time again, and you keep laying block on block, you lay the foundation, and you start going up with the structure. And the next thing you know, the same sin that is repeated again and again and again is firmly fixed in the life. Then it's a stronghold, and I'm talking to people right now. You have strongholds in your life. Many of you have strongholds in your life. You've never taken the time to realize this thing is of Satan. This attitude, this action, this behavior, this segment of my life, this is a stronghold in my life. A sinful practice that has become so. It can be an attitude, folks. It can be an attitude. You see, once you understand that it is built in the life, then how are they maintained and strengthened? Okay, Satan keeps working with you, and you just keep committing the same sin over and over and over and over. You become addicted. It becomes a part of your life. It becomes ingrained into your life. Now, once it is there, how are they maintained and strengthened? Remember yesterday I was talking about the demon that goes out of the man because demons want expression. They want expression. And he went out of the man and he went out in dry places, but he couldn't find anybody who could work in any more effectively than the one he had left. So he said, I'll go back to my house. He called it my house. My house. And took seven more demons with him. Demons infect and inhabit strongholds. Demons. Unclean spirits. they enable, they empower that person in that stronghold to commit that thing. They entice them, I should say. They continue to entice that person. They're maintained and strengthened because unclean spirits gain access to strongholds. And it can happen. It can happen in a nation. It can happen in an individual. It can happen when legislation that is contrary to the character of Christ and the Word of God is approved. Now you're in the business of making a stronghold for Satan in the nation. Judicially, they happen there. What do you think abortion is? What do you think transgenderism is? What do you think same-sex unions is all about? Those are strongholds in our nations. Those are strongholds in nations of the world. They're stronghold in our nation. Churches have strongholds. When I went to the old Central Baptist Church down on Nair Street, San Marco area, I walked into a lot of darkness. Now, on the surface, and there were some wonderful, loving people in that congregation, don't get me wrong, but there were some undercurrents. There are a lot of deacons in that church, and they were in the Masonic Lodge, and they wanted to get me into the Masonic Lodge. They took me down and carried me through the temple, but I couldn't go there. I'm not going to call anybody a worshipful master except my Lord Jesus Christ. But I wouldn't submit to that. Then we have the Jezebel spirit. And this is so prevalent in so many churches. I'm talking about strongholds in churches now. The Jezebel spirit. What is the Jezebel spirit? It's a spirit that likes to control. And listen, you could talk to any number of pastors if they'd be honest with you. They'd say, yep, I'm up against that. One of the strongest contentions I've had, I haven't had it now in years, praise God. I told you how Bertha Smith, that old Southern Baptist missionary, that God used in such a supernatural way. We stood down in the front of that church. It would seat about 650 people. And we prayed, asking God to kill everything in that church, every expression of ministry that he had not birthed and he was not breathing on. And I watched the whole thing die. Awana died. Sunday school died. Choir died. And I was left with a pulpit teaching ministry. And then God started birthing challenge ministries out of that. And one of the strongest areas of contention I had was with the Jezebel spirit. Many times in a church, you got men who are in position of power or in position of authority, but they're controlled by women they're married to. And sometimes, and this happened in our ministry, sometimes the wife says, well, I'm used to controlling things, and up till now I've been controlling things through him in this church, but I see that I'm losing that control, so they say to their husband, get your purse, we're leaving. Get your purse, we're leaving. Some of the strongest antagonists I've had were women who wanted to control, who wanted to manipulate, and found out they could not do it. This sounds ugly, I know that, but it's reality. And I have checked with the Holy Spirit before I even teach this. I have checked with the Lord. I didn't even want to come do this today unless I was sure that he was saying to me, do this and put it on the air now. So I've been up against it. Churches have strongholds. Sometimes it's a spirit of control. Sometimes it's undercurrents in the church. And preachers out there who listen to me know what I'm talking about. And pastors, I want you to know I've been there. And I want you to be encouraged. I want you to know, you stay strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Don't concede. Don't pander to them. No, you remain strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You declare the word of God without favor or fear. You stand in your pulpit and you call sin, sin. And let the chips fall where they may. You will never go wrong obeying God. When I read a few weeks ago, that about 35% of the pastors in the United States of America said, if I had another profession to go to, I would leave the ministry today and go to that other profession. That speaks volumes, folks. That speaks volumes about the religious leadership in so much of our churches. Denominations have strongholds. Some of the practices in some denominations are not aligned with Scripture. Some denominations have policies that do not align themselves with Scriptures. I bumped across that. I saw that. And I've been in churches of different kinds. I've seen that. Then these strongholds.
Think of strongholds this way. Think of a stronghold as a spiritual fortress, okay? It can exist in the life of an individual. Sometimes there's many of them in the life of one individual, like the Gadarene demoniac. Then you get spiritual fortresses, if you will, strongholds, in the nation. You get them in a city, Mardi Gras, in New Orleans, in other cities. That's a satanic stronghold in that city. Mardi Gras is a satanic stronghold in that city. And when you realize all that goes on in Mardi Gras, when you realize that all that goes on, you say, yes, it is. Las Vegas. Folks, I've lived East Coast to West Coast. I've lived Middle America. I have lived around Europe. I have seen and I've walked and I've witnessed. And I'm here to tell you, the warfare has never changed. Satan is after control. And city after city, state after state, nation after nation, and many times church after church, individual after individual, have strongholds in them that are just as strong today as ever they were. Strongholds, think of them as spiritual fortresses. Think of them as being indwelt and empowered, if you will, by the enemies of Christ. They are indwelt and empowered by the enemies of Christ, both spiritually and humanly. Humans who themselves are deceived. Humans who themselves are deceived. It's in churches, folks. It's in the Senate. It's in the House. It's in state legislative systems. It's in city governments. You don't have to be a Bible scholar if you've got a passing acquaintance with the Word of God. If you have some sort of passing acquaintance with the Word of God, and you see what is occurring judicially, legislatively, academically to the academic system. Do you know why there's so many Christian schools? Because there's so many non-Christian schools. That's why we have so many Christian schools. Because Satan robbed the academic system of this nation. Satan took the Word of God out. Satan took prayer out. Who did he use? Individuals. Individuals and the church, just ho-hum. Well, I guess that's the way it happens. God uses people. Satan uses people. Now, these unclean spirits and these individuals who are many times driving these people occupy the strongholds. All strongholds are empowered and occupied by evil spirits, whether in an individual or just in the spirit itself. Understand what I just got through saying. Understand what I just got through saying. Now let's talk about the Christian warrior. You're a warrior. You're in a warfare. Let's talk about the Christian warrior's weaponry system. Now we get down to the stuff. The sword of the Spirit. The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. Why do you think Satan worked overtime to get the Word of God out of our academic system? Why do you think Satan has worked overtime to raise up expressions of religion that do not base themselves on the Word of God? They use their own catechism. They write their own curriculum. They write their own doctrine. But they do not permit the Word of God to permeate the people in the auditorium. Why? Because Satan will not allow it. Satan knows that the Word of God, the Spirit, the Word of God says in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It will separate the soulish man from the spirit man, and the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Why do you think Satan has fought so hard to keep the Word of God at bay? Because he knows. He knows. Word of God tells us in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 16, Jesus now on the Isle of Patmos with John shows up. He had in his right hand, Jesus had in his right hand seven stars, that's the seven churches. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. What was that coming out of his mouth? The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. So we have the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. We're talking about the weaponry system. This is available to you. What did Jesus use against Satan? It is written. It is written. It is written. Satan couldn't stand against that. Go against him with the Word of God. Pray the Word of God. Speak the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God. And then another weapon in this system, prayer. Prayer in accordance with the Word of God. Pray in accordance with the Word of God. Get rid of all this gimme, 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 gimme stuff and get down to saying, Father God, I got to transact business. I've got to transact business in the spirit realm. I got to go up against the fortresses of hell. Here I come, Lord. Pray the Word of God. Pray in accordance with the Word of God. Stand against what God stands against. Stand for what God stands for. And then unceasing prayer. Unceasing prayer in accordance with the Word of God. Some of you listen to me. Make an announcement about a concert of prayer of a month. And you think, well, ho-hum. Yeah, well, somebody will get involved in that. No, you get involved. And if you're not getting involved in ours, then get involved in somebody else's. But get involved in spiritual warfare praying. Pray in accordance with the Word of God. Tear down the strongholds. Tear down the strongholds in our legislative system, our academic system, our judicial system. Tear down the strongholds in the religious life of the nation. The cities, tear them down. Word of God says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Ceasing. Think of it this way. Think of prayer as firing prayer missiles at the stronghold. Pick out the strongholds you want to destroy. Pick it out. Pick out the strongholds you want to destroy. Now fire those prayer missiles. Fire that prayer missile. Think of prayer as firing prayer missiles, if you will, at the stronghold. And then let's lay down a barrage. The Word of God says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Keep at it. Stay at it. Let's lay down a barrage. I mean an absolute barrage of continuous prayer missiles at the satanic strongholds in our nation till we see them collapse. Let's stay at it. You know, even today, working this message, when we think about all of these prayer missiles being fired from a large variety of launching sites, if you will, using that kind of terminology, from your prayer closet, from your home, from your church, think about all these prayer missiles being fired from these different locations at that stronghold, that fortress, and watch it collapse. Jesus said unto them in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, remember yesterday we were talking about the demonized boy? The disciples couldn't throw him out, couldn't cast the demon out of the boy. And the father had said to Jesus, if you can do anything, help us. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Do you believe that? Do you believe the Word of God? See, the father made a very wonderful prayer there. Help my unbelief. He said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Where I have unbelief, Jesus, help me, help me, help me. Help me in my belief. Then we need to pray for reinforcements, don't we? We need to pray for more soldiers. We need more soldiers in the warfare. We need to pray for reinforcements. Luke 4:18, I've taught you this so many times. Here it is again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. I want to deal with one or two issues here. That just today, the Lord and I dealt with this. Setting the captives free. Number one, we need to pray for those who were born into captivity, born in the kingdom of darkness, children of the devil, never been born again. We need to pray for those, for lost souls, for those born into captivity. Then we need to pray setting the prisoners of war free. We've got people, even since this pandemic thing and social distancing started, but even before that, we have people who have been born again but who've been ensnared by Satan. They're prisoners of war. We're in a warfare. They are POWs. They're spiritual POWs. We need to get them out of captivity. We need to bring them out of captivity, like the Song T raid in Nam. We need to go in. We need to go after our prisoners, get them out of there, pray them back into the kingdom. That doesn't mean they've lost their salvation, but many of them have stumbled, fallen, and Satan has taken them captive. And now, so many, I think, have become discouraged and disappointed. We need to pray for them and ask God to get them back into the battle. Now, you ready for this? Are you ready? We need to pray asking God to diminish and destroy the means by which Satan holds them captive. We need to pray asking God to diminish and destroy the support base of the enemy. Pray asking God to diminish and destroy the support base of the enemy. Any entity that supports the enemy's activities, that's part of his support base. Let's ask God to diminish and destroy the support base. Let's pray asking God to neutralize the base camps. Let's ask God to neutralize the base camps of deception in which the captives were held. Remember I taught last week, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ? Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God? LGBT, transgenderism. There's so much out there in the way of human reasoning that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We need to pray asking God to neutralize the base camps of deception in which these people are situated. Let's destroy the base camp. That's what we do in warfare. We try to destroy that which is furnishing the supplies to those who are fighting the battle. So we pray now asking God to diminish and destroy the support base of the enemy. Any activity that supports the enemy's activities, let's ask God to diminish and destroy that support base. Let's pray asking God to neutralize the base camp of deception in which the captives are held. Once again, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The disciples asked Jesus, why couldn't we cast this demon out? He's come down off the Mount of Transfiguration. 9 apostles standing there. 9 apostles, 1 demon. They can't cast it out. And they ask him why. And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds, if you had just that much faith, nothing shall be impossible to you. Remember what the Father cried out? The Father cried out and said, with tears, Lord, I believe. I believe, help my unbelief. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You can pray that. You can say, Jesus, I believe. I believe. Help my unbelief, Jesus. Help my unbelief. Folks, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take seriously what you heard yesterday. I want you to take seriously what you've heard today. And the Lord has me working on a message right now, dealing with the different kinds of unclean spirits involved in a different expression of life, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. It's real. I've been up against it. I've been up against it. It's in the Word of God. Jesus has defeated every enemy you're ever going to face, including death itself. And you can walk, my friend. Hear me. We collectively, corporately, can tear down the strongholds that Satan has built in our churches, in our nation, in our academic system, in our legislative systems, in our judicial system. We, the people of God, the soldiers in God's army, endure hardness as a good soldier and give yourself to the battle. Purpose in your heart today. Father God, I'm getting in the battle. I'm getting in the battle. My Heavenly Father, Lord, you know how I hesitated to come to the pulpit, or rather I should say to the microphone. You know how I hesitated. This is my pulpit, Father. For my radio congregation, this microphone is my pulpit. And you know how I hesitated to come and do this today. and I wanted your direction. I wanted your leadership. I had to have your anointing. Without your anointing, Holy Spirit of God, I am nothing. I am absolutely nothing. I have nothing to offer anybody, nor do any of us, without the enablement, the empowerment, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. But, Father, raise up in this hour, in this day, a remnant, a bigger remnant. Raise up those who are willing to stand in the hedge, make up the gap, be involved, and give themselves, Father God, to firing those prayer missiles at those satanic strongholds in every section of life, at every level of life in this nation. And, oh, Father God, show yourself strong. Show yourself strong to your people. Encourage them by showing yourself strong. This we ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, thank you so much for being with me today here, my precious radio congregation. And that's what you are. You are my radio congregation. I have here in my studio, I have a little yellow piece of paper. I put it up here years ago, and I put this one. I said, this microphone is my pulpit. This microphone is my pulpit. You are my congregation. I love you, I pray for you, and I bless you in the name of Jesus. Now, till we get a chance to do this again, be blessed.